Thank you. So, King Cobra office.
We have Jackie, me, and Brenda.
Thank you. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon. Balls Pass. Sandpoint. Is Paul, Carol, Denise, Madam Clerk, and myself. Akitan. Anchorage office.
Yes, Mayor, Mr. Back, there's myself, Annie. We have Glenora, Ernie, Talia, Charlotte, Laura, Jordan, and Jennifer Nelson from with GCI here as well.
Okay. Thank you. So we do have a quorum. Adoption of the agenda. Anybody have any corrections or additions to the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, this is Chris.
Hold on a minute, Chris. Paul?
We had two items to new business. First, this discussion on Brighton Seafood's operation in Akitan. And the second is borough work at home policy.
Okay. Chris?
Yes, I'd like to make an amendment that we remove resolution 2302 out of the consent agenda and put it under resolutions, and then I have an amendment actually to the resolution too, but I think we have to move it to the consent agenda first.
Okay, so we'll just, I think we just remove it now and then we get there.
Yeah, we just remove it now and then once it comes up under resolutions, then we can make that change. That's correct. Thank you.
Okay. Others? Okay. If there's no other changes, the three that we have is under new business. We have Trident Seafoods / Akitan and office work from home discussion, and we move resolution 2302 from the consent agenda. It'll now be the first resolution under item 12 resolutions. So if there's no objections, I will leave the agenda as amended with the change.
As described.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I think everybody understands.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Public comments on any agenda item. Anyone feel they have a conflict of interest with any of the agenda items?
Hi, Alvin, this is Daly. I don't have any conflict of interest, but just want to let you know I'm here.
You're here. Okay. so we have one presentation by GCI, and I believe Jennifer is Nelson is in the office. I'll turn the floor over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for having us, Assembly members. Happy to be here on behalf of GCI to provide an update on our AU Aleutians fiber project. Happy to report that the project is on schedule and in progress. The fiber, the undersea, the mainline undersea cable has left British Columbia and is en route on the Intrepid, which is the fiber laying vessel, and it is scheduled to arrive in Onalaska on the 23rd of this month. So super duper exciting news. It's been a long time. We've been here at many assembly meetings talking to you all about this project, and it's almost a little surreal that it's actually coming into fruition. There's actual fiber going in the water in a few weeks. So once the ship gets to Onalaska, it will take fuel, do a crew change, and then get the mainline cable connected to the beach manhole in Onalaska, and then it'll work its way back towards Kodiak. It's expected to get back to Kodiak around mid-September timeframe. So with the AEB communities and the timeline with connecting, we have Accutan that we'd like to get connected. Onalaska will come online the end of this year, so they will have service in by December, possibly a little sooner if we can. The service that this project will provide will be urban-level plans, so pretty much what you get here in Anchorage is what you will get in each one of these communities where we deploy service, and that is speeds and price. So that is super exciting. Actually, I think your speeds might be actually better than mine in here in Anchorage, because it'll be brand new fiber to the home build. So the schedule, you may have seen some activity in King Cove and Sandpoint. So the first community that will come online will be Onalaska. We'd really like to turn Accutan up shortly thereafter. We have all of the materials needed for the Accutan build in Dutch Harbor. It's staged, ready to go. We're working through some permitting with the city, and we're waiting on one final permit from the city for easement, for the easement use for the shore route, and it's pretty imperative that we get that sooner rather than later, so it doesn't delay the deployment for Accutan. So hoping that comes through. They've been working with Mayor Joe to try to get that complete, but Accutan is ready, and if we can get that permit for the easement for the shore route, their service will come up right after Dutch, so Accutan will be first on the list out of the AEB communities. So the crew was in Sandpoint and had done some work there. They're going to be back in a couple of weeks and finishing up laying some fiber. They're currently in King Cove right now working on the beach manhole and the shore route to the Earth Station. Then they'll be back about the 1st of April. And what they will be doing then in April is the fiber to the home build. And then it's really going to ramp up August, September, October, with services coming online in Sandpoint and King Cove in November, December of 23. So November, December of next year. The process for the fiber to the home build, there will be a lot of communication that will be sent out as that gets started. Requesting permission from landowners to bring the fiber directly to the premise. That is, does not obligate you to sign up for service. It just means that your house or business would then be wired and ready to go when it turns on. So there wouldn't be a delay having to come out and redig or retrench anything there. Then the work continues to Chinook Bay and Larsen Bay, with everything being complete. We are the sub-grantee on an NTIA tribal broadband application with the Native Village of Port Lions. And in that application is a proposal to add the community of Cold Bay and False Pass with the same fiber to the home build, connecting them to the mainline fiber. That is still under review. They were supposed to make those award announcements last December, and the program was really oversubscribed, and they're really taking a long time, and we've been in active conversations with NTIA about that application, really pushing hard to get that across the finish line, to have them approve it so then we could roll in those other communities into this project as we're there doing the work and have them come online in by 2024 as well. So a big, big hustle to try to get that done so we can get them added in. With the addition of those communities, every community then along that mainline fiber route would be connected, so nobody would be left behind or have to go back and connect later. As you are aware probably of the supply chain issues right now, we're pretty fortunate for this project to have everything purchased, so we won't have any delays in any of these deployments due to supply chain or trying to source fiber. So the mainline cable, like I said, it's on the ship ready to arrive, and then we have all the other conduit and fiber and things that we need to do the fiber to the prem connectivity in King Cove and Sandpoint, Chignik Bay, and Larsen Bay. Any questions from the assembly or Mr. Mayor?
Jennifer, I have one. So, like, when you come into Sandpoint, one of the questions that people have been asking me is, like, well, is it going to be a Wi-Fi or an antenna they have to put up to get it? But sounds like you're going to provide cable to each home. And people wanted to know also is that do we have to sign up somewhere to make sure we get fiber optic to our home?
Great questions, Mr. Mayor. It is not a fixed wireless solution. It will be fiber to the prem, so fiber to your home. So you'd have a box, you know, like a modem inside of your house that would distribute the signal. There will be permissions that will be required for us to bring that line to your house. It doesn't obligate you to sign up for service, but we hope to get out in front and get permissions from everybody in the community so that when our crews are there on the ground, they can just get all that work done so that when the homeowner or business owner wants service, it's pretty easy to get turned on.
So how are you going to get the permission?
We'll have people. Yeah, we're going to have people on the ground. And on Alaska, it's been done a variety of ways. We've mailed out an informational packet with a permission form and a place on the website where you can go sign up. We've made phone calls. We've had community meetings. We also have people that have been knocking on people's doors, hanging little dooring hanger reminders. Hopefully you will hear from us multiple times that we need to get permission to bring cabling to your house.
Okay. So another thing, since we have In the Loop and we have a website, you could, if you want to, you could see Laura and you could put all of this stuff also on our AEB websites and things that we have. So,
yeah.
I'm sure people that are out of town for whatever reason, they want to get left out. And I know that's a big concern. Other than that, I'm going to be quiet and let somebody ask questions. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jennifer, some of the communities between Unalaska and Kodiak have entered into an agreement for GCI to access across the property. You mentioned that Unalaska is a city. I'm not sure in Sandpoint if the city's involved with Shumigan, and they were paid a fee, a pretty good fee, and this comes from grant monies, too. That's the first question I have. Do you have any information about that in some of the communities in Lucianese Borough about fees that the communities could enter into an agreement with?
Yeah, there has been, if we're going to cross over property that is owned either by the city or in some cases the village corporation, and then even so we need to get those easement approvals, and in some cases there are or have been negotiations with those property owners to access that easement where it should be. But those easement, if there is a fee, that's not included as part of the $25 million RUS grant money. That would be capital dollars dollars from GCI. Because the grant money can only cover certain aspects, and easements are not one of them.
Okay. I did hear, numbers like a few hundred thousand in some cases. However, I'm following up on Alvin's question about service to a house. Back in the Swampsea meeting, GCI representative said the fees would be for use of fiber optic would be the same as Anchorage fees, basically, which is good. But how about a hookup fee? Is that going to be necessary? Or how, once you have the fiber optic to the house and you decide, yes, I want to get hooked up, is there a fee that goes along with getting hooked up, or how is that going to work?
That's a great question. There is not a fee to have your house wired, and that is also why we really want to have a big push and a strong educational campaign to have people get signed up while our crews are there doing the work. If for some reason, so right now, if you get signed up with this initial, get your house wired with this initial push, there's currently not a fee to bring that cable to your home. We just need your permission to drop it.
Okay, and then just the final question I had is, I think it's self-explanatory. However, you know, our cell phone service in some of our communities, at some point, is lacking sometimes. And
well, you're being so nice. I would say it's less than lacking.
a lot of people use Wi-Fi calling, and I think with the GCI setup, that could you check? And I see that, I'd like to see that in writing, that Wi-Fi calling is completely compatible. It should be. It should work great, including video and everything. And then, you know, that would help people cut their bills down by able to use Wi-Fi calling, and because phones at home don't work that great. I'm not sure if I'd want a phone at home. I'd just use Wi-Fi calling. But anyway, if you have an update on that, or if you know a little bit, I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Paul. Wi-Fi calling will be a possibility because you'll have a strong Wi-Fi signal now in your house as long as your device, your phone that you have, is capable of Wi-Fi calling. So that is definitely a way to improve the wireless service inside your homes until we upgrade the entire wireless network, which this fiber optic system will allow that backbone capacity and get us in a position where we can improve the wireless experience. And there are plans to upgrade the wireless pieces, but you're absolutely correct. Wi-Fi calling in that kind of interim it's a solution that you would then be able to use in your home as long as you have a capable device. Flip phone, probably not going to work so well.
One final question. I know GCI with their cell phone service, they did have an agreement with the lower 48. There's only a handful of carriers, and a bunch of people have agreements with them to provide phone service with their cell phone in the lower 48. But GCI, I've read, lost their partner, or is that still an available option if you have a GCI cell phone to hook up with a partner if you're traveling in the lower 48?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, we have a strong partnership with T-Mobile. So when you're in the lower 48, your GCI phone will roam on the T-Mobile network, and likewise for T-Mobile customers here in Alaska.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Others?
Well, goodness, Ms. Ginger. Is it Brenda?
Go ahead, Brenda.
I tell you, I have no problem with my GCI stuff except for the long distance, but the cell phone always works wonderful. So the question I have is, you have King Cove not probably tell the spring of 2024? Is that what I'm hearing? Or is it
23? Construction will start in 23, Brenda, and then will come online towards the end of the year. So it'll be a Christmas present to all you all in King Cove.
It'll be
fabulous.
Cable
modem for Christmas.
Right? There's so many people are taking college classes and things like that online that this, not only businesses is going to help, but, I mean, there's so many more opportunities for education out there with our young people and even our older people who are going back to school. So I get myself excited, then I have to remember it's like you got to wait for the baby to grow. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Brenda.
So, Jennifer, if you're getting
Ginger,
present, what time point going to get an Easter present or a...
No, I guess it's Christmas for both of you. You might be rushing Christmas, so. No, it'll be the same time frame for both communities, fourth quarter of 23, so next year.
Okay. So, I heard...
Hey, Ginger, this is Chris here.
Go ahead, Chris.
different on your television. I think you've gone to UConn or something like that. Will there be some kind of that same kind of option with you guys if we want to do some kind of video streaming or something with the program that GCI has right now?
Yeah, and thanks for the question. I failed to mention that. Yes, UConn TV will be a product that we will offer. At launch.
Everybody here is shaking their head. So, I don't know.
Ginger, this is Carol. Are you guys gonna fix the UConn channel? It doesn't even come in English very well. So
yeah, it has had its bugs. They've been working through those.
Yeah, there's
been a lot of effort put into working out the kinks with the UConn TV product. So hopefully those will all be ironed out by next year.
Okay, thank you.
Somebody else had a question?
Yeah, Ginger, this is Daly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, so when do you expect to know something about False Pass and Kobe then? Do you have any idea?
We've been in conversations with NTIA now. The latest that they've given us when they might start making grant awards would be August, September, but we're pushing them pretty hard to not only, you know, be get these awards made, because there's a lot of people who have a lot of other projects tied into this, but also to continue to advocate for those two communities, because there was $2 billion available and there were $5 billion in applications. So been working hard with the tribe in False Pass. The Aleut Corporation had submitted a resolution, of course, the Native Village of Port Lions, and kind of working through delegation offices and just trying to bring some advocacy for those other communities so we can get them connected. So by September, hopefully.
Okay, and then once that happens, when do you expect us to be tied in then? Just a, you know, approximate.
It's probably 24 right now what we're looking at, but the sooner we can get the crews into those communities and kind of shuffling them around to get all the work done, you know, it could be sooner than that.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Paul?
Yeah. Is there a connection between the German ancestry of King Colvin, a cable maker, which is from Germany?
None that I'm aware of. Would have been nice to get a discount, though.
Okay. Other than royalty questions, others? Ask them now, you guys.
Mr. Mayor, thank you and the Assembly for your support of the project. And like I said, we've been sitting at this table for a long time talking about it, and it's going to be exciting to see that big fiber laying ship roll by. So you'll see it outside of the communities as it makes its way back from Onalaska.
Okay. Hey, Jennifer, really appreciate you coming down at our request, actually, and giving everybody an update, so people that are listening in on it will feel a little bit better. Now they'll know answers to a lot of the questions I think they had. So with that, sure appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone. Before us, we have minutes of May 12th and May 26th. Do you want to take them one or both together?
Could we do them as a block? This is Brenda. I make a motion to accept the minutes of May 12th and May 26th, 2022.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda. We need a second.
I'll second it. This is Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Any corrections, comments, additions to the minutes?
May 12th? Hearing none. Of May 26th? If there are no objections, the minutes of May 12th and May 26th will stand as written. Financial report. Annie, you have two, April and May of 2022.
Do you want to vote a motion on the floor first, or did you want me to talk first?
Oh, I guess we do need a motion.
Ms. Brenda, could I make a motion to bring financial reports to the floor?
Both of them, correct?
Yes, sir.
Denise, I'll second.
And Denise, second. Now, Annie.
All right, Mayor Ostbach and Assembly, in the packet is the April 2022 and the May 2022 financials. This is the 10th and 11th month within our fiscal year. Really nothing too major to report or significant, I suppose. If you do go to the May financials, though, on the raw fish tax, we are at $4.6 million year-to-date amount, which is well over what we anticipated back in May of 2021. In May, we had some assumptions regarding COVID-19 and things like that that just caused a lot of uncertainty. So this is great that it's over. We're about probably over the five-year average at 120% of the five-year average right now, so that's fantastic. Other than that, I think everything is tracking along. There's a few things in here with other revenue that is larger than anticipated, but that includes payments for Cold Bay dock repairs and things like that that we weren't that we got paid back for from insurance companies and things that we weren't anticipating to work on, and those were expended elsewhere in the budget. So it should balance out there on revenue and expenditures. Other than that, I don't have any other comments. If there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
Annie, on the front page one, on the bottom, there's Fish and Wildlife Service lands. It's more than it was budgeted. Why was it? Refresh our memory maybe on why it's a little bit more than was budgeted.
Yeah, so U.S. Fish and Wildlife Lands is paying us for federal lands, and we're not sure what that's going to be every year until they announce it and then pay us pretty much right afterwards. So I think we took basically around the five-year average, which is around $15,000, and it just came in more this year than what we had anticipated. So we're making our best guess in May, and $15,000 seemed reasonable, but it came in a little higher from the federal government.
One more question. On the first page, the second item on the other revenue, what is that again? That's a big jump. Refresh your memory on that one again, too.
Yeah, so that includes, and Jackie, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that includes payments back from the insurance companies for Cold Bay dock repairs and things like that. So we had gotten monies from the insurance company to repair the Cold Bay dock, and that's where their money went, and then we expended it in the miscellaneous account in the expenditure line item. So that's just where those monies from the insurance company went.
Thank you.
Other questions for Annie? Hearing none. All the roll on the finances.
Paul? Oh. Clarification, we're just both financials?
They're both together.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise? Yes. Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
If you said daily yes, I can barely hear you.
Motion carries.
investment reports for April and May are in the packet for your presentation. If there's any questions. Don?
Yes.
Paul?
Just one. I didn't know. First, this is a month. These are a month later than usual. However, I see everybody probably saw it. Went down $4 or $5 million. That was a month ago, and it probably went down some more. And today doesn't look good either. I'm just pointing it out. That's all. Nothing. I don't have a solution or anything. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Okay. So we're on the consent agenda. So I need a motion. There's resolution 2301 and resolution 2305.
Consent agenda.
Okay. Motion by Paul.
I'll second it.
Second by Carol. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osbach and Assembly. So the first resolution is Resolution 2301, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of agreement between the borough and the city of King Cove regarding maintenance of the King Cove Access Road during fiscal year 2023. During fiscal years 2017 to 2022, the borough and the city have agreed that the city would accept responsibility for performing regular maintenance services for the road. The borough authorized the city to use a borough-owned grader and excavator to assist with the maintenance of the road, permitted the city to also use the grader excavator to perform maintenance on other roads owned solely by the city, and paid the city $99,000 per fiscal year to conduct maintenance of the road. We would like to continue that in FY 2023, so it would be, once again, to let us negotiate and execute a MOA between the borough and the city for FY 23 services, and it would be in the amount of $99,000 per fiscal year, and that they could use the grader and excavator for road maintenance and city roads as well. Thank you. There's no questions on that. The second
Paul has one.
Quick comment. We talked about this briefly at the workshop, and I think what I actually said is I was talking about porcupines and Chris, is they don't want to get close to either one of them. That's all. Thank you. Just a joke, by the way.
All right. So the next resolution is Resolution 2305, which accepts the financial statements required supplementary information and single audit reports for year ended June 30th, 2021. Essentially, the borough hired BDO to audit the financials for fiscal year 2021. BDO has completed the audit, and in their opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects, respective financial position of the governmental activities, the business type activities, the aggregate discretely presented component unit, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information for the borough as of June 30th, 2021. There were a few journal entry adjustments and no restatements for the FY 2021 financials. There was one material weakness and two significant deficiencies. We are in the process of addressing those through a correction action plan, which is outlined here in the memorandum. So with that, administration recommends approval of the FY 21 audit. Thank you.
Questions on the audit? Hearing none. All questions on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Daly?
Motion carries.
Yes.
Yeah, we caught you there, Daly. Okay, so we do not have anything under public hearing or ordinances. So, Resolution 2302, which was removed from the consent agenda and moved under resolutions, is now before us. Annie?
Mr. Mayor, this is Chris. I'd like to make a motion that we bring resolution 2302 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and executive a memorandum of agreement between the Aleutians Eastboro and the city regarding the reimbursement expense associated with the King Cove Access Project for FY 2023. But I'd like to make a motion that we amend to include the $25,000 to cover some of Martin Hickey's fees as technical consultant to the. Go ahead.
No, we need a motion. We have to get the original motion on the floor.
Okay. Okay. I make a motion that we bring the original resolution 2302 to the board or to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
Thank you, Brenda. Okay, so we have resolution 2302 on the floor. Okay, Chris.
Okay, can I make a motion now to amend the resolution at this time?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to make a motion that we amend the current resolution that is on the floor, which is 2302, to include the City of King Cove requesting an additional $25,000 to cover some of Mark Hickey's fees as technical consultant for the CAP related issues, and as we see in this resolution, we do see that the funds are available in sub-department 210, the AEB hovercraft, proceeds line items E20867, 210, and 972 of transportation.
Second.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
Okay, so before us we have the amendment that Chris just read, so we have discussion on the amendment. Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have any problem supporting the original resolution, but I won't support the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Annie, you have any comments on the amendment?
No, I have no comments.
So, a comment from me, I guess, as mayor, is when we wrote up the resolution, it covered the borough's participation along with our lobbyist involvement and as far as the borough went with King Cove Road. So, this $25,000 actually would be above and beyond what we look at as our workload and responsibility as a borough. So, anybody else have comments? If not, question on the amendment. But, Carol.
I just have one question or comment to straighten out. So the $25,000 is already in the CAP budget, right? So it's not coming out of our
funds. Where are the funds coming from?
Right.
Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the $25,000 would come out of the money that's already dedicated to the King Cove Cove Bay Road.
Yes, correct. So the money for this will come out of the hovercraft sales proceeds that were contributed to the King Cove Road project. And those are already designated in Fund 20.
So it's already budgeted, and it's not coming out of our pocket, basically.
Well, it isn't budgeted until you pass.
Right, but
it's just money that's been sitting there as part of this fund that's there for it. Yeah. And just remember, the faster you spend down that fund, the faster you run out of money, and then you're going to have to face the issue of how much is going to come out of the general fund to going if it goes on for years.
Right.
The faster you spend it, the faster you reach that point. Other comments?
How much is in that hovercraft budget right now? Do you know?
You know, Annie, offhand?
Everything.
Yeah, I can. Just give me 1 second. It's in the financials. Just one moment.
I know you can find it way faster than I can.
Yeah, there's 420,000 $772.09. Currently, and I should preface that we just paid the FY22 expenses for last year's commitment, which is around $86,000. So there's about that much left that's just not reflected in the May financials. That'll be reflected in June. So there's a little bit left, but you're looking at around $300,000+.
Other comments? Question on the amendment.
Finney?
No.
Brenda?
Yes.
Brenda? Paul?
No.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
No.
Bailey?
Yes.
Okay, the amendment fails, so we're back to our original resolution 2302. Are there any other comments on resolution 2302 as it's written? If not, question on the main motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So before us we have resolution 2303, I need a motion and a second to bring it on.
So moved. This is Carol.
And a second?
Second, Denise.
By Denise. Thank you, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ostbach and Assembly, so before you is 2303, approving the Aleutian Eastborough Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds, which is also referred to as FLRF. Program allocations in the amount of $648,173. In 2021, the U.S. Treasury launched the American Rescue Plan State and Local Fiscal Recover Funds, which provided the resources needed for state and local governments to respond to the COVID-19 public health emergency. The borough is allotted to receive $648,173 in FLRF funding. In September 2021, the borough received the first tranche of funding in the amount of $324,086.50, which has been deposited in a designated AMLIP insurance portfolio. The borough's second tranche will be paid no earlier than 12 months after the first payment. Therefore, we anticipate receiving the second tranche in September of 2022. Administration has reviewed the U.S. Treasury's final rule for the SLRF funding, which can be found at the link in the packet. These funds can be used to replace lost public sector revenue, respond to the far-reaching public health and negative economic impacts of the pandemic, provide premium pay for essential workers, and invest in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. The coronavirus recovery funds provide substantial flexibility for each jurisdiction to meet local needs within these four separate eligible use categories. Administration recommends appropriating the $648,173 for revenue replacement for eligible government services, which includes maintenance, improvements, or new construction of public facilities, including those that address overcrowding and capacity constraints, support energy efficiency, and respond to health and safety concerns, among other purposes. I've spoken with Alaska Municipal League, and after talking about that, we do recommend, you know, we have numerous maintenance items that need to be addressed, and the SLRF funding can be used for the King Cove School pipe corrosion, which is $110,000 that Kukar and Dell have been hired to fix, the King Cove School water corrosivity issue, which we don't have a cost for, but that'd be the long-term solution to address the corrosivity issue at the school. The Sandpoint School pool repairs, about $250,000, which there's a resolution later, that this could, these funds could be used to pay for, and then also purchase some Cold Bay Terminal chairs for the new addition that has been added. If money remains, the borough does have other maintenance needs that qualify, and those will be brought before the assembly prior to appropriating the funds. Therefore, with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Okay. Hearing none.
Just to clarify, Annie, when you mentioned you're pronouncing it slurf, but I lost track of how many of these different funds there are with the virus. And do you have a short version, or how many different funds are we dealing with from time to time on?
Yeah, so we've received
virus monies.
Right. Yeah. So that's a great question. We've received two different funding sources. One was the CARES Act, and that was about $3.7 million that we have expended in full. So that grant is closed out. And then we've received these ARPA funds, which is before you now, these SLRF funds, and that's the second different funding source from the federal government. And they have different requirements, different reporting requirements, Treasury guidelines are different, and everything like that. But so two different funding sources from the government.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Other comments? Hearing none. Questions on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Before us, we have Resolution 2304. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
Denise, I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Denise.
This is Carol. I'll second it.
Thank you, Carol.
Annie. Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Resolution 2304 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between the borough and the Aleutians East Borough School District regarding maintenance of school facilities. The borough owns the school facilities and the school district operates them. Maintenance is required to keep the schools operational and safe. The MOU provides guidance for the efficient maintenance of school facilities and reduces any potential conflicts which may arise from a division of responsibilities. In the packet, there's an overview of borough responsibilities, school responsibilities, and joint responsibilities, but in essence, the borough is responsible for school major maintenance or capital projects costing over $25,000, and major maintenance includes, like, regular normal upkeep, major plumbing, heating, ventilation issues, as well as any necessary structural changes to meet regulatory requirements such as ADA. We're also responsible for conducting school boiler inspections and to provide training to the school district and things of that nature. The school district is responsible for routine maintenance costing less than $25,000. This is like minor plumbing, like faucet leaks, window breakage, things of that nature, and they also do custodial functions, groundskeeping, snow removal, and they do fire sprinkler inspections as well as asbestos and hazmat inspections when needed. Joint responsibilities include annual inspections of the school facilities, completing the AMLJIA facility inspection checklist, submitting reports, and working together on items that need to that need to be done over the year. So we currently don't have anything in writing, which is why this is before you. It's also a part of the strategic plan as well to get an MOU in place. And the school district will have this presented to them and for their signature. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? All right. We did have a discussion on this during workshop. I think the only questions asked basically back, or the main one, was if this was done last year. This hasn't been done in a few years as far as being a signed document. It would be nice to get this signed on the record. So there's no comments or questions. Question on the motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We must go off. So before us, we have Resolution 2306 approving the appointment of Lucian C. Sperl, Finance Director. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion.
For
2306.
Okay, thank you. And we need a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach. So before you, is Resolution 2306 approving the appointment of the Borough Finance Director. As you know, the Borough has a finance department, the head of which is the finance director. Section 2.9 or 2.29 outlines the appointment terms and the duties of the finance director. Per the code, the finance director shall be appointed by the mayor and shall serve at the pleasure, the mayor's pleasure. So the borough administration advertised the borough finance director position. Applications were due June 20th. The mayor and administrator conducted an interview with Ms. Brandl, who has been serving as the borough's acting finance director since March of 2022. Ms. Brandl meets the requirements of the finance director position, and administration recommends hiring Ms. Brandl as the finance director. In here is also the terms and conditions of employment for your review as well. So if there's any questions on this, please. Thank you.
Carol.
I have a couple of questions. Okay, we talked about this earlier, but I'd like to just have it kind of put on record. How many applicants did we have?
One
applicant. So Jackie was the only applicant.
Correct.
Or Ms. Brando. Okay, second thing is I was kind of taken back with the last paragraph of the job requirements. In lieu of the above, I didn't realize that that's pretty much on all job applicants, but I guess I learned a lesson today. And didn't you just hire today? Shouldn't your probation period, her 90-day probation period, start the day of hire?
Well, the reason that I was saying, well, let's just forego that, is she's been acting in this position for longer than 90 days, so it doesn't make any difference. It can stay in there. It doesn't have to, but
okay.
It doesn't really make a
that
lot
was
of difference
my,
now.
That was my question. I just wanted to
know. And, you know, and of course, Annie and I did the interview with her, and since now, you know, this position shifted from the administrator to the working directly under the mayor, I'm comfortable with it, and I don't have any problems. Other comments from the assembly. And, you know, and another thing, too, is since this position works for the mayor can appoint, but I kind of felt that I talked to Annie about this on director positions that I think would be good to have the consent of the assembly also with these top positions. Not necessary, but I think it's...
Okay, and my last question is, how come it shifted from... under the administrator, was she under the administrator before and the mayor, and now it just shifted to the mayor, or she was just the last finance director was just...
I think it was a conflict in the ordinances, Annie.
Yeah, so a couple years ago, actually, an ordinance change was made that would shift the who the finance director serves under. So the prior finance director still served under the administrator, and then once the new one's in place, that would shift over to the mayor. But that was an ordinance that was passed quite a few years ago.
Well, we didn't want to, because the last finance director worked under the administrator,
mm-hmm.
even though the ordinance said it's supposed to be under the mayor, we decided with the
blessing of the assembly if you want that. We would just leave it alone until a new finance director came on and then make the change. So she wasn't, you know, it wasn't changing the existing finance director who she worked under. So basically it just straightened out and made it according to the ordinance. It was just like, remember 4 years ago, they had the clerk working under the mayor.
Right.
And it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be under assembly, so we switched that one. So as we're going along, we find little things in there and then fix them the way the ordinance is done.
I must be getting old because I don't remember doing it. So, okay, that's fine.
We're scheduled to use new software to do our financials, but perhaps sooner than later we should have a preliminary discussion from experts who can kind of start getting the assembly administration prepared. It's going to take more than one little training session, and perhaps this fall might be a good time, one of the meetings, to either have a paper or some presentation to kind of get us starting to think about it a little more, because we did end up making a big deal about the software, so.
And I think we did have that discussion at one of the assembly meetings, and Annie, it seemed like the contracted party that's providing the software, they wanted to wait until they were like two-thirds there or some portion of having this thing ready to go before they gave it to the assembly. I remember somewhere around that.
Yeah, so if we're talking about the financial software, we're literally in the very, very beginning phases with questionnaires and things of that nature, and then we're going to start looking at the load tables and trying to transfer the data. And then it's the pre-live phase. That's where everybody gets trained. The people using it will get trained on how to use it, and then we should be able to roll out financial reports at that point in time. So it's quite a ways out. So when we're there, and I don't have a timeline because it's very contingent on how long some of this takes us to do portions of the work, then we can definitely have a training and explain how the financials work, because they will look different.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions dealing with the resolution 2306? Hearing none.
This is Brenda. Could I make a comment, please?
Hi, Brenda.
I've really been thinking about this. He was talking about the probationary period where you had wanted to waive that due to her being the acting finance director for that time period. And most of the jobs and watching the businesses that I've worked with, that's traditional, especially when someone is the acting person and then they jump into that job. Most times, I don't know of a time that it wasn't enacted where the 90-day probationary period wasn't waived, because they're doing all the duties and the things that are assigned to that position during that time. And if it's over 90 days, almost every, I don't really recall in the 20 years I've worked with businesses that they haven't waived that probationary period, because they've worked hard in learning and understanding and working in that role. And then if that position probationary period is waived, then they have the ability to then start accruing leave and such.
Okay, thank you. Other comments? Okay. Question on the motion.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, before us we have resolution 2307. This is authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Evolution Schools of Fog, Inc. Need a motion and a second?
Denise, I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Denise.
I'll second it. This is Carol.
Okay, Annie, this was quite a discussion during the workshop, so
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So 2307 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Evolution Pools and Spa, Inc. to perform maintenance on the Sandpoint Pool in an amount not to exceed $280,030. So the borough owns the Sandpoint Pool, and is responsible for major maintenance of the facility. TMI conducted an inspection of the pool and determined that the pool is losing a substantial amount of water every day due to leaks within the facility. And as discussed earlier, we are unsure where that water is going. Evolution Pools and Spas provided a proposal for the work. The work will include sealing and repairing the gutters, rebuilding and sealing the main drain pumps, repairing all tears and seam leaks, replacing the circulation pump and filter, ensuring that inlets meet code requirements, install salt water and UV disinfection system, replace the flow meter and gauges, and then also some pipes and things of that nature. So the quote that's in here in the packet has since shifted. It's decreased to $250,024 because we'll be using the sand filter filtration system, which is currently being used, opposed to a different filter that won't be available for months due to supply chain issues. So it'd be $250,000, a little over that, for the work. Administration does recommend adding additional authorization of about $25,000, which is 10% due to inflation. So that's just a little contingency buffer for us. But it would be a lump sum contract with Evolution Pools for a little over $250,000, and this would be paid for, since you approved the prior resolution for those SLRF funds, it could be paid for with that money. So I know there was a long discussion, so if there's any questions, comments, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Excuse me. So before I take comments from the Assembly, I support this. And basically, during the conversations we had during the workshop, a couple of them were like, you know, why do we need to do this portion if we're going to wait and put a new liner in, was one of the discussions. But basically, whether we put a new liner in now or 5 or 10 years from now, the work that this $280,000 cap limit on this takes care of, the infrastructure, the pool, the plumbing, the gutter systems. So that has to be done one way or the other. So one of the other things that was discussed was basically, let's put it all into one closed pool for a year and wait for the bladder to get filled. I personally don't support that. I think it's important to get the pool up and running for the school year, because they bring the kids in from the other communities. We live on an island surrounded by water and spend most of our time out there. I think it's important that kids turn out of swimming. Anyway, I'll open the floor. Paul?
I'll just throw a couple quick comments. I definitely would support fixing the plumbing and filtration and gutter system and putting off the decision on the liner until we know a little more, and maybe even going to bid again if we have to change the liner, because there's different ways of doing it, probably. And it's still going to cost money. I don't think it'll cost as much as it did, but it's an important part of the education of the kids in the region. And so I'll support the motion with a cap of 280 for now, with the understanding, I think it's pretty clear, that we won't maybe make a decision on a liner till another meeting.
Yeah. Well, I think if this passes, because the liner project itself is at such a high value, that definitely we would go to bid, I would think. We always do when we talk about larger sums of money. Other comments?
Annie, this is Denise. When are they looking at starting the work? If we pass this today, when are they looking at coming out to do the work?
They're hoping towards the end of August. Yeah, they're hoping towards the end of August. There's, like I said, there's some supply chain issues. The reason they decided to go with the sand filtration system rather than the other one is because it's readily available. So we're looking end of August. But if we give them approval tomorrow, they'll order stuff. They're just waiting for the go-ahead.
And I think, Annie, to add to that, with the problems that we've been dealing with here at Sandpoint this past week, with it being drained or shouldn't be drained or what we're doing up there, if this passes, I think we may want to contact these folks and see if they can have another inspection done to make sure there's no more damage done to the liner before August. But Ian, you can talk about that, but I wanted to somebody also. So. Other comments? Okay. Question on the motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey? Bailey?
Motion carries.
Thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2308, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Robertson and Eastop to provide legal representation in the Cole Road in the amount not to exceed $86,100.
So moved.
Thank you, Carol. I need a second.
I need a second.
Thank you, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. So 2308 authorizes the mayor to negotiate with Robertson, Monongal, and ESO, as Mayor Osterbeck just stated. RME is requesting authority and funding to provide legal representation for the King Cove Road in an amount not to exceed $86,125. The request letter is attached for your reference. This will be a contractual compliance and funding relationship for this work will be between the borough and RME, and the legal and technical tasks conducted will represent the King Cove Coal Bay Group, which consists of the borough, the King Cove Corporation, the Igdal Tribe, the Native Village of Volkovsky, City of King Cove, and the City of Cold Bay. There's three scenarios, litigation scenarios that they're foreseeing. One regards the Ninth Circuit decision. Another is the administrative appeal of Section 1110B, the denial of the special use permit. And then the Berdreau withdrawal of the January 15, 2021 Bernhardt finding. In April 2022, Secretary Holland concluded a trip to King Cove. She has still not yet announced her position on the land exchange. If the secretary announces her full public support, it might eliminate the need for numbers two and the administrative appeal and the Boudreaux withdrawal that's listed in the memory or agenda statement. This legal work would include, but not be limited to, contacting the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice to continue legal coordination and alignment with them. Additional briefings on the merits of the plaintiff's claims, drafting another brief and conduct legal research to defend the legality of the land exchange agreement on remand to the Federal District Court in Anchorage, coordinating with the State of Alaska Department of Law attorneys, and working with NANA on its amicus brief. Cost for these services is $86,125. The borough would enter into a not-to-exceed agreement. Therefore, the borough will not pay for services that are not rendered by RME. The borough does have funds available in a state King Cove Access Project designated legislative grant, which is reflected in Fund 20, and that would be used to pay for these services. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions? Paul?
Thank you. As everybody knows, the current administration has not formally made a commitment on King Cove Road. However, we have a new House Representatives person coming along, as well as perhaps the Senate may or may not be a change. But I think it may or may not be appropriate for the administration to organize a small delegation after the after November sometime to talk to some of the people we need to talk to and reinforce, because we have be some education with the new people involved. And it would be, and King Cove is an important part of that, and work with them and see what you can figure out. Anyway, that's kind of a little different than the award of the money, but I think it's related, and that's why I brought it up. Thank you.
Others? Hearing none? Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Haley?
Under old business, we have nothing under there. New business, first off, is strategic plan quarter one update. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach. So in the packet is a strategic plan update for quarter one. So this was the period of March 1st, 2022 through May 30th of 2022. Just if you look, there is a chart showing all the bubbles that are filled in. Quite a bit has been completed in the first quarter, and actually some stuff that was in prior quarters have been finished as well. I'm not going to go over this in great detail, but if there is any questions, please let me know. Please remember it's a working document, so things move around. But a lot has been done, and I just want to commend the staff for all their hard work on getting these priorities completed. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Comments on the strategic plan? Okay. I appreciate it, everyone, so trying to help keep everybody on track here. We added two items under new business. So the first one that was added is basically Trident's plans pertaining to Accutan. And did you have a comment, or did you look for?
I was going to make a comment.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As most everyone knows, I think Trident is looking at some changes. We're not quite sure what they are. However, the tax revenues from the borough in Accutan probably accounts for at least half of our tax revenue. And so over 20 years, without adjusting it for inflation, it's $50 million. In case somebody, everybody probably knows that. It's a lot of money. And a month ago, on my own, I was taking a trip, a stop in Sitka, and making perfectly clear I was only speaking to myself. I talked to a Trident representative in Sitka about what options Trident was considering, and I don't think they've completely made their mind, but I think it's important to keep a line of communication. They're a good partner. They've been a good partner for us, and we should be ahead of the curve in communicating with them what we can do to continue to make it a successful relationship. And I just wanted to bring it up again. Thank you.
Okay. Annie, you want to give a little update?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach, Assembly. I was going to include this as part of my report, but we did meet with Trident last week to discuss what's occurring or what might occur in Accutan. They still don't have a decision at this point. They did say that at the August meeting that they would have and provide an update to the borough. So that would be something that would be presented to the Assembly at the August 18th meeting. But right now they're still in the process of doing their feasibility study, and they don't have a commitment either if they're staying or if they're going. They're just not sure yet, and they're not committing to anything. So August 18th, we should be able to have an update that will be presented to you. I'm hoping that somebody will either be in Sandpoint or be here in the Anchorage office to do a verbal presentation, but if not, we'll have something in writing.
So we met with Joe and the head staff there in their Anchorage offices last Thursday. So actually, I went in especially for that meeting. Keep lines of communication open, as you said, and try and see where they're going. They are
saying too much yet, but they did it. I told them that we were going to have a full assembly meeting here at Sandpoint next month, and they thought that would be a good time as far as wherever they're at by then to inform the assembly, because they like the working relationship with the assembly and the borough and the city of Acton, so they still got things to work out. And yes, and they do have property. You know, they bought that property in Captain Bay, and they are putting in a telecessport, I think. And actually, their barges should be there now with all the supplies to build a big dock and whatever. So, but they said no matter what they do, that they have to have that there anyway, because if anybody's been up around in Alaska, the dock space up there is premium. I mean, you can't get into the dock anymore. So they are still going to do that. Anyway, we're still hoping that everything gets worked out and they stay with us, because it is a big change. Okay, so hopefully we'll see them here at our next meeting where we're all face-to-face. And then office work. Paul.
Oh, hi. The borough's kind of got a sort of a work-at-home policy, not always, but I thought it's important the assembly and talk about it. I always think working in the office, if possible, is better for the borough and better for the employee, too. That's all I wanted to say. I don't know if anybody else has any comments, but I know people ask me from time to time about it. I haven't heard talk about it, I guess.
Carol?
Yes, kind of what people have been asking me, too, if we're open for business or not or whatever. So I guess I'm just curious to see, too, where we are at with the office being open for employees. Thanks.
Other comments? Other comments? Okay. Well, that's something I and Annie can talk about, and I know she's got plans for so many days a week that it's mandatory for everybody to be in there because they need face-to-face meetings and that type of thing. So we've been talking about it for quite a while as this pandemic goes up and down. So now it's going up again. And Alaska's red. News yesterday. I don't know if it's the pandemic or the one of the others.
We're always having new ones that are.
Yeah. Okay. Reports and updates. Annie, you want to lead this?
Yes, Mayor, back in assembly. So in the packet is my report, just a few updates. So with the Cole Bay Dock, the borough has contracted Moffitt and Nickel for the Cole Bay Dock feasibility study. We had a kickoff meeting on Friday, July 8th to initiate the project. So that's starting to come to fruition. So we're planning a trip out to Cole Bay to inspect the dock and the surrounding areas and try to figure out site location. It may or may not be where it currently is. It might move. Those are the things that they'll discuss, and then also meet with members of the public to discuss that project. So that's exciting that that project is finally starting. Cole Bay Clinic, the borough did submit a HRSA grant on June 2nd, which was before the June 6th deadline. These are congressionally delegated funds for the Cole Bay Health Clinic renovation project. This will entail the replacement of the generator, the boiler, the installation of dirt walls, and other items. We anticipate knowing by mid-August for awards of these funds, but these funds can only be used for the Cole Bay Clinic and, in particular, for renovation. There's a King Cove Road update in here for your review. Not a lot to report. As I said, Secretary Holland did make a trip out in April. She still has not made a statement or an announcement of her opinion at this point. The Ninth Circuit appeal is still ongoing. Banana Regional Corporation is filing a brief supporting our position, which is new. And then the special use permit, they're still working on that. Exciting news is we did get municipal harbor facility grants for the Sandpoint Harbor. So that's extremely exciting. This is years and years in trying to get the money. So we are anticipating to get $4,125,000 from the state, which is a 50-50 match. So that's great news. We're still waiting for the award from the state itself, but it is officially announced. And we also still have that federal port infrastructure development program grant out there. So if we get that funding, which should be announced in September, October, November timeframe, these state monies can be used as the match for that other project, which would be fantastic. So that's just great news and years of attempting to find funding for that. So it'll be great to finish that harbor finally. Financial software, we've talked about this already, but we did meet with Casell to begin the software transfer. There are four phases to this. There's the preparation phase, which we're in currently, which is questionnaires, trying to answer all their questions, and then we'll start doing the setup phase with the loading tables, then the pre-live phase where a lot of training will happen, and then the live phase. We're currently, like I said, in the preparation phase, and we'll be moving forward on that. A few other items. The borough did enter into a three-year agreement with AMLJIA for insurance coverage. The coverage is good. It meets the borough's needs, but unfortunately, the cost did come in higher than anticipated. These will come back to you with a budget amendment, but the property costs have gone up 20% or 30%, which I didn't anticipate when the budget was drafted. So I'll be coming forward with a budget amendment later to incorporate that. But we do have coverage. That was kind of we got the proposal, I had to make a decision 2 days later type of a thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be covered. So. Property rates have gone up significantly in the insurance world. We also will be obtaining separate cyber liability coverage. Last year, that quote came in at like $180,000. This year, it came in at $10,000. But we will have some cyber liability coverage because it's not always a matter of if, it's when something will happen, especially in municipalities. We entered into another lease agreement with Southwest Governments for the Anchorage office. In turn, the borough has entered into sublease agreements with the cities of Accutane, King Cove, and Sandpoint. Those are good for 5 years, and then they have to be renewed. Rental rates stay the same this year as they are the year we're currently in as they were last year, and then they go up slightly by a percentage, and I don't remember what that is. It's like 2 or 3% or something like that. And then lastly, we are planning on having the August 18th meeting. It's not on the second Thursday this time. It's on the third Thursday in August, but that will be in Sandpoint. And then we'll have the September 8th meeting we're planning on doing in King Cove. So Beverly should be reaching out to the Assembly to arrange travel arrangements for that, and hopefully everybody can make it. So anyway, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and the Assembly. This is Talia. So, give me just a moment. First half of my packet is the regular meetings attended. Much of my focus has been focused on the deed CIP application and maintenance in the last few months. So, David Landis is the new CERC facility specialist and AEB's point of contact for the CIP application. June 28th, the governor released his proposed cuts with only the first 10 projects on the priority list funded, with AEB Sandpoint School Major Maintenance at number 16 and the pool at number 38. So this means that the new Sandpoint Major Maintenance project will need to be repackaged because we have already reused our scores in the past, and the application will need to be put out by September 1st of 2022, so in just a few months. The next one is a major maintenance. So Christopher Guyron is the maintenance management specialist with CERC. I have gone through the training learning how to use the CMMS. It's the Program Maintenance Connection and MC Express, which is a platform AEBSD uses to schedule and track work orders for the borough's buildings and assets. So I'm keeping a very close eye on that, and this is what really is going to help push our CIP application, making sure to track the work orders, mark things completed, and the times used. More specifically for the Sandpoint School Major Maintenance CIP application. Later on down, I kind of break down all the different meetings I've attended regarding major maintenance discussions. We have, so again, the work orders, looking for a day laborer, maintenance discussions, meeting with CIRC, CIP, and, of course, we are still on the lookout for a new maintenance director. Last couple of items is the bridge maintenance. So September, we will have a State of Alaska inspector coming to look at the bridges. There is still work that needs to be done from the previous inspection that was due 2 years ago. Whether or not we'll get all that work completed is still kind of in the air, but I am hoping to get some of that done before the next inspection. And if not, I suppose it'll all work itself out. So I put some cute little pictures of the bridges up. And last is the the generator. The Accutan generator has been having ongoing mechanical problems. February 7th, a technician from Tacoma Diesel did travel to work on the generator. However, the issues have not been resolved. So this upcoming August, they will be sending someone back to take a look at it, and hopefully the issues will be resolved. And the mayor and I have also met to discuss ways that we could try to fix the generator issues going on in Accutan. And last but not least, I will be going to Sandpoint in August, so I'm super excited. It's going to be my first trip out to the region. I may or may not behave, so we'll see. But again, I'm super excited, so I'll see everyone there. Thank you.
You need a map?
We'll make sure we have Red Bulls for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've got one right now, too.
Is there any questions for Talia? Okay. Thank you, Talia. So, Cora.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. Talia is always a hard act to follow. Anyway, I'm working on several projects. Our old website was taken down on May 31st and replaced with a new design on the same day, so it was a seamless process. In the meantime, I've been adding photos to communities, the pages such as the one for capital improvement projects, natural resources, et cetera. And then the other locations such as our services page, I added images to correspond with subtabs for permitting, donation requests, and public information requests. Beverly and I went through a third training in mid-June to learn more about WordPress, and that's the content management system that is used by our website host, Planetaria Media. It's a very different system from our last website, but overall the modernized and revamped appearance has a far more polished appearance, and the navigation for users is also improved. So if anyone runs into any sort of bugs or issues, please let me know and we can address that with our web host. Another project is I'm going to be going out to the borough coming up this Saturday. As we discussed and was approved back by the Assembly in May, Carrie Tasker Photography was selected to conduct borough photography and video services. He recently took photos of the Anchorage office staff in late June, so those photos will be posted to the various departments on the website soon. And as mentioned, Carrie and I will be visiting the region July 16th through the 24th. We'll start in Sandpoint, getting photos and videos of the harbors, docks, other infrastructure, fishermen, staff, and administration in Sandpoint, the office. And then hopefully we can get photos of the assembly members in each of our communities if available as well. After Sandpoint, we're going to go to Nelson Lagoon, Kinko, False Pass, and Cold Bay. So I'm going to email and contact folks before we arrive. We're going to be doing a separate trip to Accutan in August, so the date's to be determined. I'm going to talk to Carrie about that, and we'll coordinate. So we're really excited to get some new and updated photos and high-res images, video of our communities. It'll be super helpful when it comes to submitting grants for borough projects, as well as used for reports, newsletters on the website, and on social media. Another project was, this is part of our strategic plan, which is the Community Alignment Initiative. We're continuing efforts to do profiles on various people who have demonstrated dedication to their communities. The last article was published on July 1st, and it was focused on Annette Calver, who retired in late June after teaching at the King Cove School for 31 years. I contacted Annette, school principal Paul Barker, several colleagues, and former students for this article. So we are planning to continue working on this initiative, and we'll highlight various people from each of our communities. So if you have someone in mind who has shown a significant dedication to their job, has volunteered for the community, or in some way has done something special to impact the lives of those around him or her, please let me know, because this will be very helpful to continue with this initiative. The latest fish news that was written by Ernie Weiss was sent out on July 6th. That contained information about the Board of Fisheries Chair Merritt, Carlson Van Dort, and member John Wood, who accompanied Ernie to several AEB communities July 7th through the 11th. They have a meeting in Sandpoint on Friday the 8th and another in King Cove on Saturday the 9th. This meeting precedes the 2022-23 board meeting. There's also a section in there about Chignik sockeye, and noted that AEDFNG will prepare a draft action plan that will be available for review prior to the Chignik Alaska Peninsula Salmon meeting in February 2023. I'll defer to Ernie for other fish-related details. Some ongoing and upcoming projects include we're going to be working on the borough's annual report, which we do every year. So after some of this, these trips to the communities, I'll be working on that, and then also a white paper that Annie requested for the Accoon Breakwater and Dock. So if anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Laura, this is Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, I just I got a chance to see the new website, and it looks good. Those that are entering information on there, very good. Like you said, looks a little more professional and more polished, so good job there. So.
Well, thank you. It certainly has been a team effort, and I appreciate that. And, again, if anyone runs into any little bugs or issues, please let us know so we can get them fixed as soon as possible. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. Laura mentioned the July 6th fish news, which I do take responsibility for, but hardly anything goes out like that that doesn't get looked at by Charlotte, and she had an important contribution in there, so I wanted to mention that. I was out in Sandpoint in King Cove this last week, and I had a great time, so thank you for the ability to do that and host those Board of Fish members. We had a couple good community meetings. We had two tours of the plants in those communities. We were not able to get to False Pass. Nelson Goon really wanted us to come there as well. But the two main discussion items, the Saners were able to kind of explain how they were able to keep their chum ratio to sockeye way down, and it was really interesting, and it was well taken by the board members. The other issue that came up was the low escapement in Nelson Lagoon, and so I think that'll be an issue that comes up at the salmon meeting in February. But all in all, really good trip. I think they really appreciated it, meeting with the fishermen and the community members. I did want to say thanks to both Beverly and Jackie. Thanks very much for helping out, and the fishermen and the community members that showed up at the meetings, maybe especially to Kylie and Heather Thompson for cooking breakfast when there was no breakfast in town in Sandpoint. And all the processors were there and very helpful. So that was great. Again, we won't see the proposals until late August or early September. They were interested in if anybody had a proposal out there, they kind of wanted a sneak peek, but nobody really was able to give that kind of information. So I can answer further questions on the board visit if you want. I was not at the council meeting. Charlotte was, so maybe she has. I plugged a couple different things, and so I'll just mention on the Bering Sea Pequod small access, the council wants to allow hook and line and pot catcher vessels less 55 feet or under to fish off the Bering Sea jig quota in the A season. They talked about the snow crab rebuilding plan and how that's going to work, if there will be a directed fishery or not. The C4 trawl EM is Charlotte's baby. But on the D1 salmon reports, I was very interested that the AP wanted to compare what's going on in the genetic testing right now in our salmon fisheries with the federal, and I'm glad that the council didn't pick up on that. The main thing I wanted to pay attention or call attention to was this call for nominations to the Community Engagement Committee to the council. It's really important that we have somebody on that. I may put my name in as an alternate, but I think we need a resident with some involvement in federal fisheries. They're really looking for somebody from our area. So if these letters of interest are due July 30th, and if you go to the council website, you can see how to get those in or give us a call. That's the main things. Appreciate your time. I did take John Wood for a ride up the road. That road looks great. There's been no rain on it, and yeah, best I've ever seen that road. I don't like driving up there such a long, but John said it was the highlight of his trip to go up there. And then you got up at the top, and it was just fog to the ground. I think we have a couple of new advocates for a road because they kind of got stuck there on Saturday night, and then we looked at the road. So anyway, it was a great trip. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ernie. You should have him walk the rest of the way to the runway, I guess. Maybe that would help. So,
Ernie, this is Brenda.
Yes.
But I've listened also to the radio station when they talked on there about how and you could hear the discomfort in their voices in both of them discussing the YK, Bristol Bay, Chicknick, and Area M, how it has come together where the Native groups are fighting against Native groups, and they both very much and strongly believe that people from the regions should come to the table and resolve some of this themselves, because they do not want to be stuck in the middle of Native groups fighting Native groups for fishing rights, subsistence rights, and such. Do you know if there's going to be any discussions around that with any of the people from all of our regions? Because that is primarily where it's coming from now, and I think to hear them really reiterate that, I think I checked it off 5 times and then with a cross, so that's 6 times that they actually stated in that meeting that how much they did not want to resolve that conflict through the board process. They would rather it be resolved through the Native tribes and the corporations in the regions and the Native groups together coming together and resolve that themselves.
Thank you, Brenda. Yeah, you know, John Wood, board member John Wood's main thing since I first met him was he thinks groups should get together and solve these things, and I think he was a big part in helping us get through that March meeting. But again, so all the meetings this cycle are in Anchorage, and you can bet we're going to have a lot of FaceTime with all the board members, and getting all our tribes, corporations involved is going to be important. While we were sitting at that meeting, we got the notice that Chignik had an opening. I mean, they have the best escapement in years, and so that was really good news. The Kuskokwim, Yukon, not so much, but again, it was well received that the fishermen did really keep their chum harvest down. But you're right, we have to get everybody involved in order to make this work, and trying to solve some of these problems with the other groups before they come to the table.
Ernie, Chris here.
Yes, Chris.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see you in person when you were in King Cove. I did see you drive by and honk there. I guess we won't know anything more until October, but what's the crab sounding like? I'm sure red crab's going to be canceled again this year, and I heard there was possibly another crab that possibly may not be fished either. Can you just give us a little brief summary on the crab fisheries? I really appreciate, you know, this good red salmon season and, you know, what's coming into the communities here. But, you know, some of us also look at the crab, too. And so maybe you could just kind of give us a little update on that.
Sure, yeah. You're right. We're not going to know too much until October, but king crab likely be closed. Looks like snow crab, part of the rebuilding plan, will be no fishery. So it's a tough situation, there's no doubt. I did try to come see you, but you guys were sick and didn't make it to church. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we had the sickness go through the house there. Yeah, thanks, Ernie.
Paul? Yeah, when Ernie was here, we were talking about how the North Pacific Council is looking for people to submit their names for the advisory panel for a representative from the region. And, of course, they make those appointments in November, but it's a public meeting now. People are listening, perhaps, that may be interested in submitting their name for consideration by the council to get appointed to the advisory panel, in addition to the community engagement part. That's all.
I wonder if it would help. Well, it should help if people were interested and they got the endorsement from their local advisory committees, fish and game advisory committees.
That would help, sure. Definitely would help, I think.
Other questions for Ernie? Okay. Thank you, Ernie. And then the person that we never saw, Charlotte, is she there?
Man, you guys are killing me. Yeah, so I have my report in the packet for you. I'll just kind of go down through the projects. So starting with EM, so NIFWA finally provided an executed grant agreement for our Western Gulf 3 project, so it's only 7 months late. So we submitted our first reimbursement request for that. We also received some of our first video from what we call our switchgear boats. So that was the Cape St. Elias in King Cove, who is our volunteer for that project. So the video looks really good. We've sent it over to NIMS to start developing a sampling design for this project and figuring out how fixed gear boats can use their trolley M systems and opt into the regulated program. I also attended the Trawl EM committee meeting that I'm a member of on the 31st. The primary outcomes of that meeting were outlined in the minutes, which I've linked if you're interested in seeing. The biggest concerns right now for the Trawl EM regulated program are opt-in, opt-out flexibility in odds for GOA vessels, tender split offload provisions, and the management structure of performance standards for GOA trip limits and MRA limits, and then requirements for processors and really figuring out kind of what's going to be their involvement. I also met with the Environmental Defense Fund and the Nature Conservancy to provide feedback on their priority recommendations for advancing a national agenda for data modernization in fisheries. I guess I do that now. and I also did a brief interview with Seafood Source on data modernization successes in fisheries across the nation, and the Western Gulf Trawley M and Data Portal was selected for the story. So that's exciting. So moving on to council information. So I did attend the council meeting in Sitka in June. The big thing for me, as Ernie said, was the Trawley M agenda item. So this is the initial review of the regulated program, which is a pretty big deal. The council moved to support alternative two which is kind of as the ESP is running right now. So that would include all CVs and tenders in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska. That is a huge deal because we were very concerned about the tender fleet being included. So this is like a major win for us. I think it's going to move into final action in October, and I think it will go very well for us. I provided public testimony on C4. I've linked to that if you're interested in seeing that. Ernie provided some good information, so I didn't want to repeat anything, but I just included a few extra points on item D4, which was the salmon reports. That was a huge agenda item, and there was a lot of information, so I just included some things that I thought were interesting about the Bering Sea chum genetics, the AEQ analysis, and then just what the council motion decided to do. For Board of Fisheries, I flew to Sandpoint to help facilitate the fish and game preseason meeting, and there was some discussion around the new Area M chum genetics study, which I've linked the operational plan for you to review. It was also attended by the Fish and Game Comfish Director Sam Raybong and Fishery Scientist Bill Templin. I included some notes from my meeting, or my highlights from the meeting, if you're interested. I'm not going to go through them all. And then also I would just add, I've been in conversations with Fish and Game scientists about possible collaborations or some cooperative research opportunities for salmon. And really kind of looking at some low-hanging fruit options. One idea that is very interesting but still sort of unvetted is potentially using nearshore survey data to develop a better forecasting model for pinks instead of using historical harvest data. So that's something I think is a really cool idea and might be possible. So for mariculture, I met with Alaska Sea Grant, and we have a plan in place for constructing and operating the Zachary Bay farm. We have a local set net fisherman who's currently working towards his own permit and has been participating in various farm trainings that have been put on around the state. So we have a plan to basically work together to build the farm, and he's going to be attending some hands-on intensive trainings at an active farm in Kodiak multiple times kind of throughout this process. So we're hoping to get that started this fall. For the cod tagging project, we were invited to submit a full proposal for the PAC State's cod disaster mitigation RFP. So we have submitted a full proposal, but because the deadline was extended, we're kind of rewriting it a little bit, and it's due July 22nd. But I did include a link to the full proposal with a total budget of $2.2 million. We've received several conventional tags, most recently from four fish, all recovered in the GOA, with three being by Nagai. We're working on including, and I'm sorry, I included a link for the updated information, but we haven't finished that yet. It's just been kind of a busy week. But we are going to do an updated reward flyer that we send out to all fishermen who recover tags, kind of giving them an updated status on the project and the results. And so I will make that available at the next assembly meeting. And then I also included a new reward flyer. So we have edited that to include these additional low-tech tags, and we'll be sending those out through the Observer program and to all of the fishermen and Harbor House, and all that good stuff. And I think that's it. Happy to take any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Charlotte?
All right. I want to make a couple comments. I do this time of the year. So basically, this is for all the communities that have harbors. So now is the time to sign your harbor masters up for this fall's harbor master meeting, which is going to be in Nome. And I think it's really important that you send somebody out of your harbors to these. There's a lot of discussions that go on as far as derelict vessels, taking care of harbors. It's a good networking place for them. And over the years, because of the work that harbor masters have been doing, right now there's
grant monies out there for derelict vessels. So if anybody out there has a harbor, you have derelict vessels, I'm sure. So you should go online and apply for some of those monies out there to see if you can help take care of some of your vessels. But I think it's really worth it for each community with a harbor to have somebody at these meetings, because it sure helps statewide in the long run. So with that, assembly comments. Carol.
I have one comment. I was wondering, have we acknowledged Roxanne 20-some-plus years on the borough with a letter or a plaque or anything to say thank you for your good work and all your years?
I might give it to Annie, but I think it's in the works, and, you know, we look at it the same. I mean, it's basically she retired as far as I'm concerned, so... Annie, you have anything to add?
Yeah, we're working on a plaque right now and stuff, and we'll get that to her as soon as possible. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Paul?
Two things, but I got an email this morning about the Tustamina replacement, which is a complicated bid process. And the first phase, which they were already supposed to be through it, they have not even got anybody interested. And, of course, I've been a critic of this new process because it might be good the DOT process to get the ferry. May work pretty good for roads and bridges, but boats, well, I don't know what they're going to do. But those of you who are counting on the estimated replacement moving right along, think again. And then the second thing is when I was traveling on my own to visit some people in Sitka, I was able to attend that tribal meeting where they discussed salmon with the NOAA administrator from Rhode Island, and Balsinger's replacement was there. It wasn't very many people, and I didn't say a word. I just kept, I was just listening, introduced myself around, but it was interesting, and they're looking to get more federal money, and they didn't, of course, that's a federal regulatory process, and they don't have any that much say over us in that arena. And the Board of Fish and State process, they can participate and do whatever they want to do. But I do have, if anybody's interested, like I say, I was only there on my own at that meeting at the but I did get to meet the NOAA administrator, which was the first time in Alaska, and she spent about 4 or 5 days there. And anyway, that's all I know.
But Jim's replacement, she's a lady, right?
Jim? No, I'm terrible at names sometimes, but he's a protected resources guy. Ernie knows his name.
John Curlin.
And the lady is a... the one that's in charge of all fisheries in D.C. works under NOAA.
Okay.
And Janet, going under Ernie for name. Numbers, I remember names. I have to have them written out sometimes.
But. Janet Coit.
Yeah, okay. Janet Coit, right. Yes. C-O-I-T.
Okay. Anyway. Others?
This is Chris here, Mr. Mayor.
Ed.
With the bad news that we kind of heard about the Tustamina replacement, I do have some good news. I did receive an email from the ferry system that the Tustamina has left Seward and is getting back in service, and so that is some good news for out here. So.
Other assembly comments? Okay, then. Any public comments? So the next meeting, so you guys don't forget, it's not the second Thursday. It's going to be August 18th here in Sandpoint.
One quick question. When is primary day? It's in August sometimes.
I think it's
August. Maybe it's 60th Tuesday, yeah. That sounds right.
It's marching down upon us real quick.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things coming. Rank choice thing, I guess. So.
Okay, nobody has anything else?
I got a question for Beverly on travel to Sandpoint.
What is it? Yeah, I'm gonna work on the travel coming in here. You and Daly confirm the outgoing. I already have a reservation for you on the ferry.
Okay. I figured you were working on travel and stuff. Yeah, and I just didn't hear anything on getting over there. But yeah, I know the ferry. So okay, sounds good. Thanks, Beverly.
Beverly, this is Brenda. Could you add me and Warren to the list also? Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I will work on that.
There'll probably still be an element.
To adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Thank you, everybody. And we are adjourned.